Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. That phrase of music must be very, very familiar to many of you. It's, of course, the first notes of the Allegro from the Sonata, number 1 in F minor, opus 2, by Beethoven. And it is performed by our guest today, pianist Rudolf Buchbinder. And I want to welcome you here to WRTI.
Thank you.
I think it's a little daunting for you, perhaps, to be considered the Viennese Oracle. That's what the that you have a title. People kind of refer to you that way.
I think it was written in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Well, okay.
In the Philadelphia Review.
Yes. You have lived with Beethoven ever since you were very, very young, it seems.
Yeah.
You made your, you were very young when you started to play. Was it 5, perhaps?
Yes.
And you made your debut at the age of 10.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Why Beethoven? I mean, how you were so young.
Look, my repertoire is from Bach till contemporary music. There are so many piano concerti dedicated to me, which I was first performing. The piano concerto by Gershwin, Concerto in F, is my most played piano concerto.
Really?
From
Isn't
all.
That wonderful?
But I play all the other repertoire as well. But of course, there's no question that Beethoven is a central person in my life and in my music.
Well, of course, I'm going to say, have you changed from, not when you were very young, but through the years in your interpretation? It does happen with musicians, of course, as far as Beethoven, the sonatas are concerned.
Of course. I recorded the sonatas over 30 years ago the first time.
Yes.
In the studio. And I think it's a different person who did this. Sonatas.
Isn't that that's a wonderful thing, though, because you've evolved, of course, as a person and musically, and I guess you respond to the music in a totally different way.
I always say when you are young, you are absolutely intolerant. You are not flexible. You are very narrow-minded. And the more and more I study and learn about life, about music, about everything, the knowledge is growing. And when I recorded it 30 years ago, I was not free. But you can only be free when you know everything. I always say knowledge makes me free. I cannot be free without knowledge. And this is the biggest change in my life.
Well, I think you mature, you experience life, and then, of course, you translate that into your interpretation of very profound music. And
and
I think that's a sign of growth. And that, of course, is the sign of the beauty of art in general. We interpret it at the stages of the life that we are experiencing it, and then we turn around and say, wait a minute, why did I do it that way? Or I see this now. Mm-hmm. And so this new release that you have, this is fantastic, the old piano sonatas. And you've been playing those sonatas for so many, many years. What was the reason? Was this some kind of a celebratory release for you and your work through the years, or is it just something that you wanted to do?
I think to play the 32 sonatas live and to record the 32 sonatas live is one of the biggest challenges in music. And some friends forced me to do this. They said, I have to do this after my first recording of the Beethoven sonatas, because I have changed a lot. It's not Buchbinder anymore, my old recording. So I tried to do it, and it was, the atmosphere was fantastic at the Semper Opera in Dresden, and it was a very good public. It's like a family, you know, after seven concerts with the whole cycle, you're growing together, and you feel it's a family, and then you have to say goodbye after the last note in Opus 111, which is a very sad moment.
Yes.
Of course, this challenge was a very, very hard work for me, but I think I had to do it after 30 years.
Is it a test for you, or?
No, not a test, but it's just the result of my work, of my studies.
We've just heard the first movement of the Waldstein Sonata number 21 in C major, opus 53 of Beethoven, performed by our guest today, Rudolf Buchbinder. This is from his new release, The Sonata Legacy, which is an amazing collection of 9 CDs. It's a boxed set of the complete piano sonatas of Beethoven. What is quite interesting is that I've read that you do all of your recordings live.
Absolutely.
Yes, because there is the ambience of the audience, I guess, and the excitement that one feels as a performer.
Yeah.
And you do it differently.
Yeah, the excitement, emotion, spontaneity. I'm nervous. I'm not nervous when I go to the studio, and this is missing.
Yes, yes. Well, there's so many things to worry about.
Yeah, that's it.
One has an. I think with me, I would feel certainly the memorization. Of course, the music. That's always, you think you have all the notes there, and that's the only thing I think that really is the is.
Sometimes I'm wondering about my brain.
Well, it retains a lot, you know, and it's been there for many, many years. But you've lived with Beethoven for such a long time, but you've lived with a lot of great composers, and you've done an enormous amount in terms of the greats, Haydn and Mozart, Brahms. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you if you have any favorites, because that's not even a question that is...
No, this is a dangerous question, because if I have a favorite, I'm not allowed to play all the others.
All right. That's a very good answer. That's a very good answer. Or you can't give all of yourself, right,
others. It's not a secret, but perhaps it's a secret. I don't know.
Do you change?
I shouldn't know it by myself.
Do you change? I mean, you've got to change when you play Mozart and then Brahms, right?
But this is no problem. No, this is absolutely no problem. When you play a recital, For instance, one of my favorite pieces is the Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin.
Yes.
But I only play the original version for piano solo, not with orchestra, because the orchestration is by Ferd Gruffy and not by Gershwin.
Yes, yes.
And I play the Rhapsody in Blue between Haydn and Mozart. It was a classical composer. You know, I remember a fantastic tour with the Bavarian Radio Orchestra with the chief conductor, Lorin Mazel.
Yes.
We did 10 or 12 concerts. In the first half, I played the Gershwin Concerto. And in the second half was the great C major symphony by Franz Schubert. I think it's a fantastic program.
And once again, you also are a conductor, right? Of sorts?
No. I love to conduct from the piano, but I'm not a conductor. I will never conduct a symphony.
Now
I
that's
black and white keys too much.
Well, of course, that's very Baroque, isn't it? I mean, the conducting from the instrument, isn't that the way that
it's
done?
Yeah, everybody did it. You know, unfortunately, I would have loved to be the first, but Mozart did it and Beethoven did it, so many other people did it. So I just carry on.
What happens? I mean, then you become... It's the whole thing that you're dealing with then when you are conducting, because it is the orchestra plus the soloist and the entire thing.
You know, the work is in the rehearsal. You work with the orchestra, and suddenly each musician until the last stand has a much bigger responsibility than when the conductor would be in front of the orchestra.
Yeah.
This musician has to listen, has to look at to the colleagues, and it's a complete different tension when you make music without conductor. And in the concert, you just play chamber music.
That's chamber music. You listen.
This is a bit bigger kind of chamber music.
Yes, which you did a marvelous recording that we have.
Thank you.
At the station with Wolfgang Sawallisch, the Schumann Andante and Variations for two pianos and two cellos.
That's right, yes.
That might have been a very exciting experience as well, working with Maestro Sawallisch.
Yes. We have still, have a good contact, even by phone.
You're still in touch?
Yes, we are still in touch.
Robert Schumann, along with most composers of his generation and the next, confronted a real musical challenge in the sphere of orchestral music, how to write a symphony after Beethoven. The approach many adopted was to retreat to simpler, less imposing forms, offering little that was new. And with a few exceptions, Schumann, the composer and critic, despaired about the state of the symphony. One of the works that he wrote was the Andante and Variations, without opus number 10, for two pianos, two cellos, and horn. We listen now to a recording made with pianists Rudolf Buchbinder and Wolfgang Sawallisch, cellist Lloyd Smith and F.A. Baltasigil, and horn Nolan Miller. You just heard the Andante and Variations without opus number 10 for two pianos, two cellos, and horn by Robert Schumann, pianist Rudolf Buchbinder and Wolfgang Sawallisch, cellos Lloyd Smith and F.A. Baltasigil, and horn Nolan Miller. Now, I'm going to ask you something else. I'm always intrigued by the personal favorites of artists, not in their work, but now you love movies, isn't that right?
Yes,
you love
one of my loves. I have many loves.
And you love Abbott and Costello.
For instance, yeah.
And Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
And, of course, Hitchcock, right? But
it goes in alphabetic order. It starts with Abbott and Costello and ends with Oscar Werner.
Oscar Werner. I haven't heard his name in ages. From Ship of Fools, I remember him. Marvelous.
He was a genius. Yeah.
What a genius. What happened? He's not around.
No, he's dead.
Really?
Yeah, he died.
Oh, my goodness.
Too much alcohol.
Well, that'll do it, I guess, for some. Yeah. So you are very well rounded, which is delightful, and probably works completely well with your interpretation of your music. And of course, you experience the music differently each time. I think when you go through the years, I mean, as we discussed before, but you love architecture as well. I mean, you're very well rounded. You're interested in a lot of things, and I imagine that contributes to your interpretation of the music.
But I don't like narrow-minded people.
It's easier to be narrow-minded, I think, when you are expansive and you think about a lot of things and they impact on you. And certainly as an artist, it's terribly important. And I would imagine that you benefit from that.
Absolutely.
Now, you have a very, very busy schedule in terms of your concert schedule. You're going to be playing in New York, I think, tomorrow and
after tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. And you've been... Well, all over the world. How does this work with your, in terms of your schedule for working on your repertoire? I mean, do you have a very big traveling schedule every year?
I have enough time. You know, I was counting once because all my friends say you are never at home, which is absolutely not right. I sleep 7 months in my own bed and 5 months I'm in hotels. So 7 months all over the year is quite a lot. And you know, when I'm at home, I'm 24 hours at home, so I have plenty of time for everything.
Well, you have it's wonderful. And I mean, I feel so privileged to be speaking with you because, as I say, you are so highly regarded as an artist. But somehow, I guess you say Beethoven and then your name comes to mind. And not a bad association. But we certainly look forward to seeing you here in Philadelphia. Are there any other recording projects? This was a huge one, but I would imagine you've played them very, very often, and it was a pleasure to put them together on this collection.
Thank you. There are some other brands, yes. I did already another recording, which comes out in the fall of this year.
And may I ask who the composer is or are?
It will be Mozart. The next
Mozart,
time will be Mozart,
I see.
Yes.
So all your old friends, is that right?
Yeah, my relatives. Yeah.
What about your new? You did say you're interested in contemporary music as well.
No, there are several conductors wrote piano concerti for me. And for when you mentioned, for instance, Sawallisch, I did from Wim Berger, a piano concerto, which I played with Sawallisch, was the first performance in Munich with his opera orchestra.
I see.
And many other pieces.
And many others. So, well, what can I say? It's just been a thrill, and it's a thrill to even speak with you. You're a great artist,
much.
And we certainly are privileged to have you here
I
with us.
I see you in March, next March in Philadelphia.
Yes, I hope so. I will try to come to the concert.
Okay.
I would love to meet you, Maestro. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.